Amen. Thank you, Larry. And I tell you, Brother Hayes is a blessing. He's got a lot of energy. I mean, you'd have to do what he does. But even more than energy, he has a burden and a call in his life to do what he does. And he has such a desire to see military folks hear the gospel. And he tells stories, just amazing things, God opening doors. And he'll tell you some of those tonight. And he's going to come and just tell us a little bit about how things are going and then preach to us. Brother Hayes, you come.
On? I really don't need it, but we'll do it. And so we'll go from there. So there's a lot happening tonight, and when I heard about this meeting, and then this meeting, and then this meeting, and then this meeting, and the preacher whispered to me a few minutes ago, he says, how are you going to give this invitation tonight with all these meetings going on? And so I don't know how I'm going to give this invitation tonight, because what we're doing now, how many of y'all was in the service to where I drug a 150-foot rope in here and put it down this aisle? How many remember that? Okay, put your hands down. How many in this room do not remember that service where I had a rope, 150-foot rope down here, and we had people get out? You do not remember that. Raise your hand. Wow. Okay, the next time I get invited here, you know what's going to happen. We'll do it again. Okay. We believe this is a day of opportunity. Amen. This is a tremendous day of opportunity. And take your Bible. Please, please take your Bible, if you would. And turn to John chapter 8. And you already know this verse. And you already believe this verse. But let me build here for a second. And this is a bad situation. You don't have a clock up here. Yeah, that's an uh-oh, because I don't have one on me. John chapter 8, verse 32. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, then we're going to present to the church an award here. But I need to learn how to do things in order, and it's very difficult for me. Verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. I will never be, I heard you just had David Gibbs here a while back. I'll never be a David Gibbs. I'll never be a Rice, John Rice, or Lee Robertson, or anything even close to that. But I do know this, and I figured this out a long time ago, that I have the truth.
Amen.
The truth. You know, if you're an electrician, you could go down and get some electrical books and read, and it would probably be the truth about how to wire a house or how to wire whatever it is you want to wire. Or if you were a mason, you could go get yourself some books and read some books that would be the truth about how to lay brick or lay block or make mortar, and it would be the truth. There's many things that you can read that are the truth. Amen?
Amen.
We believe that, right? Okay, but when it comes to a relationship with the creator of this world, there's one book that separates all the commentaries and all the guys that write all these books. That we have all kind of books today on the Bible, but this is the book. And I'm going to ask you a question, and it's going to sound like I'm mean. But I'm not mean, I promise you. I've had over 800, not this past Friday, but last Friday, I got into Selfridge Army Base, right up here in Grayling. There's some miracles that fell into order, some things that only God can do. I had to go through a chain of, not a chain of command like Brother Chase would know, but a chain of command of civilians that I had to go through some civilians to get to where I'm at right now in Grayling. And where I'm at right now in Grayling is I'm standing on state property. I'm standing on a National Guard base. I'm standing on the only PX that they have in the entire base. They're averaging right now, this past week, about 3,500 to 4,000 men on the base. There's only one place to buy beer. There's only one place to buy their Coca-Cola, their cigarettes, and all that. Only one place. I'm 10 feet from the front door. I'm standing at the front door. I'm standing there. Tomorrow morning, I'll be standing there, the Lord willing, if I get out of bed in the morning. I'll be standing there at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I will be standing there most of the day, 9, 10 hours during the day, just standing there. That's all I'm doing. Though I do have a big mouth and I do talk a lot. And we have had so far 820 soldiers that have taken the gospel. And those are all, they're all from Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going back to those states. These are National Guard people. I had a soldier come to me this week, E8 or E9. He had silver hair. He'd been at Army, National Guard, a long time. He said, "Sir, I've been coming to this base for years, and this is the first time that I've ever come to this base and seen men sitting on their bunks reading Bible. I've never seen that ever here." So tonight, this church, we are going to do something different here, and I don't know how we're going to do it because you're going to have some meetings tonight. But we'll still get to the meetings, amen? Somehow we'll get the meetings done. But we're also going to do something different here. And the reason for this is that we have the truth. Now, you all that believe that we have the truth, this is what I'm going to say to you that might sound mean. But I'm talking to men. I've been talking to them since 9/11. And these are men that know what's happening. These are men that knows what's happening over in Israel. These are men that understand what's happening with Iran, Syria. They know what's going on up in the Persian Gulf and up in all this stuff. And there's a lot happening in our world today. So if you believe this, if you believe that we have the truth, I have to ask you tonight, what have you done with it this past week? Really, I want you to think about it. What have you done with the truth this past week? Since you left this place last Sunday and you've come back this Sunday, what have you done with the truth? If all you did was read it, that's all you did was just read it, and you studied it, and that's all you did, that's not going to save this nation. I'm glad that you read it. I'm glad that you studied it. But there's a whole lot more that needs to be done in America. Amen. We are in serious trouble, and this is the only source of truth that I know of. And it's what Americans need, is the Amen. Truth. We've got to figure out some way on how to get it out there. And so before we go any further, the 315th Air Wing down in Charleston, South Carolina, recognized what we were doing. We were sending hundreds and hundreds of these packets to Iraq here a year or so ago. And they recognized what we were doing. And the commander of that base gave me a certificate of appreciation. And we've taken that certificate of appreciation and we have given it to the churches. And in the printing world, you can do a lot of things in the printing world, and it's not deceiving or anything of that nature. I just took my name out of it and put the church's name in it, of the churches that are helping me in partnership with Berean Armed Forces Ministries. It's some things that printers know how to do. And so we brought this with us in this church right here. Some of you folks are not aware of it, but your school. Your school has been a tremendous, tremendous help to me in this business of pulling men and women out of hell with your coloring pictures and your handwritten cards. I would encourage you, please, you have no idea of the impact of a coloring picture. You really don't know. But I'm watching men, and I'm watching them. I'm standing on a sidewalk, and I stand there all day long, and I have to listen to them now. And it's kind of different. In the streets, I don't have to listen to another cussing. None of that stuff. I don't have to listen to it, but now it's different. And so, anyway, I'd like to present this to Brother Chase. And my brother, I need for you to come. In every church that I go to, there is always, of course, a pastor. Pastors are very busy. They've got lots of things happening, a lot of things going on. But every church that is a success, every church, and what I mean by a success is that they get on board, they work with the people, and the people get involved, and they help. There's always, every pastor that's successful has men behind him. And he has to have a woman behind him. If he doesn't have his wife behind him, he's usually shot down. And so, but there are people behind the scenes. And I'm a guy that's always behind the scenes type guy. And I love guys that are behind the scenes. I just love them because they get a lot of things done. And Brother Kevin is a man that's in this church that gets a lot of things done. And Brother, your name's not in here, but your church's name is in here. And so we appreciate what you folks have done for us. It's extremely important to our soldiers. And I hope that that'll be a blessing to you, okay? God bless you. Yeah, let's give him a hand. Give you all a hand. Now, if you would, please take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Kings. The book of Kings. I'm going to show you a passage of Scripture here that the Lord recently gave me. And I told the preacher that this sermon could be very, very brief tonight. And he chuckled. But it can be. And the scenario in Grayling is a matter of a lot of prayer. 3 weeks, it's probably been 2 months ago, I was invited to Fife Lake up by Traverse City. I was invited to go do vacation Bible school. The same week I got invited to go do vacation Bible school, another pastor right here in Southeast Ohio asked me to come and let's do some collating. My church needs some help, and please, why don't we do something? We want to work with you. Well, with the two pastors calling me about the same time, same week and everything, I was just thinking that the Lord is moving this and the Lord is involved in this. So I told the one pastor that, well, if I come to Michigan from Georgia, I'm going to bring 10,000 packets. I'm going to bring enough literature to collate 10,000. Well, that's $20,000. And I didn't have $2,000, much less $20,000. And but I believe you got to have a goal. You got to have some kind of focus on what you want to do. And if you're going to do this collating business, you got to have a goal. You got to have a goal of what you're going to do. So I said, well, my brother, I'm not coming up there unless we do 10,000. He said, well, that'll be okay. And so we began praying and began asking God what we can do and begin raising money. And that was way back in April. And I will say to this church that we raised $17,000. Most of my printers are paid, but I still have about $3,000 short that I owe the printer, a printer. And but they work with me. They're very patient, and they will get paid. They will get their money. And so, in fact, we're in the process of trying to raise another $3,000. Another $20,000. I mentioned to you that up in Grayling, in the last 8 days, we have had about 820 soldiers. Now, for the students that are here, I need a student to tell me. I've told you before, I've been spoken in this pulpit a number of times. How much do these packets cost that we give to the soldiers? Does any of the students remember? Any student? Okay, does anybody remember how much they cost? Were? How much?
A dollar.
Boy, I wish. They're $2 a piece. And so in Grayling, in the last 8 days, we've given away 820. So how much money is that? $1,640. Is that correct? That's what we've given away. Now, most missionaries are going to not come to this pulpit and talk to you like that because most missionaries are not doing what we're doing. It's a different calling. It's a different work. And yet the Lord is right in the center. He's right in the middle of all this. And God's blessing this situation. And Grayling, I mentioned to you that we had to go through a Roman Catholic. And I'm a 61-year-old man, and I don't fear people. I don't fear nobody. But when I get in a situation to where I have to go through authority, and the authority can cut my throat, and they can say no, I get nervous. Because I've got a job I'm trying to get done. I got something I'm wanting to get done. And a Catholic has a lot of power when they're in authority in the type of situation that I'm in at military bases. And so I began praying for this lady. And I had to take my material. I had to present it to her and show her what we're going to be doing at the PX. And so obviously we take our pictures, these pictures that we give to our veterans, and they're laying out there. And I don't mean the coloring pictures. I mean the thank you for our freedom pictures. Took them into her office and showed her what we were doing. Showed her the packets, the gospel packets. The gospel packets are very clear about the gospel, extremely clear. And I'm standing in this lady's office, and she says, "Sir," she says, "my daughter is a brigadier general in the United States Army." I already had a heads up on this, and I already knew it. I just didn't tell her I knew, but I knew that her daughter was a brigadier general. I did not know this. She said to me, "Sir, my daughter just called home just the other day and said that one of her majors' son just committed suicide. And she had called home to have her mother be praying." These are Catholic people, but Catholics pray, some of them, and they pray. And she looked at me and she says, "Sir," she says, "I don't care what religion you are." She said, "Our soldiers need to know about God." And she said, "Whatever you're doing, God bless you." And so we've had the liberty and the freedom and the authority or the privilege from a Catholic that has the authority to say, "No, you can't do this." And so we certainly pray that you continue to pray about Grayling. This is extremely important to Jesus Christ, that the gospel continues to go out there. Now, let me say this to you about Washington. We just came from Washington, D.C. We stood in the streets of Washington, D.C. I think everybody in this church knows that I work in the streets. I'm a street worker. Like the guy that stands at the intersections and says, "Feed me, I'm hungry." Well, I do the same thing, but I wear a suit. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I wear a Vietnam cap, and I'm out there with these packets. These packets are right down there. I'm out there with these packets. Out there in Washington, I was out Fort Belvoir. Fort Belvoir is right out of Washington, D.C., and not right under the nose of Mr. Obama, but right outside of the White House there, 15 miles or so. And the police came out there. And any time the police come, you're obviously going to listen to a police officer. You're going to do what they tell you to do. Well, I was on the concrete island. I was right outside the gate. The traffic's coming at me, and they're going inside the gate, and of course they have to stop at the red light. So I'm talking and talking. I don't remember how many. It was 1,100 packets that went out there in Washington in about 7 days. But the police officer, he gets out of his car, and I had already seen in Washington that they have panhandlers. You all know what panhandlers are. They have panhandlers in Washington. They work on the streets and they sell balloons. And believe it or not, they sell socks. And I don't know what else they sell, but they sell balloons and socks. And so I'm standing in the street. I've got two suitcases out there on the concrete island. I'm working at the cars, and the police officer comes, and he's got his lights flashing and all this kind of stuff. And he gets out of his car, and he's about from here to Brother Doug there. And he starts talking to me. He's that far away. He says, "Sir," he says, "where are your balloons at?" And he could see that I didn't have no balloons. These guys have big bundles. I mean, 30, 40 balloons in their hands, and they're selling balloons to people at these intersections. "Where's your balloons at?" And I said, "Sir, I don't have any balloons." Well, then he just keeps on walking to me, and he gets a little closer, and he says, "You don't have no socks today." He says, "What's up?" And about this time, he continues walking, and he says, I said, "Sir, I don't have any socks." And he says, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, sir, I come up here from Georgia, and we have Bibles that we're giving our soldiers." And that he stopped. He was being a smart aleck earlier, but now he has stopped. And he says, "You're doing what?" I says, "I've got Bibles here and little papers about who Jesus Christ is." And he looks at me and he says, "Sir, I've never heard of such a thing." He says, "Let me see this stuff." About that time, this cop is standing right next to me. And he says, "Let me see that." And I handed it to him. And he's shaking his head. He says, "I've never heard of such a thing." He says, "Wow." He says, "Can I have this?" I says, "Yes, sir, you can have this." And he took it and he closed it. And he turned around. I thought he was leaving. Well, he went back to his car. And when he came back, he had a Bible in his hand. He says, "Sir," he says, "you need to know I'm a born-again Christian." He says, "I've never heard of a man doing what you're doing." He says, "I've never heard of this." He says, "We're getting phone calls from these people out here that you're out here panhandling and you're out here taking money." And he says, "Are you sure you're not taking money?" I said, "Sir, I'm positive. I'm not taking money from nobody." He says, "I've never heard of this." He said, "God bless you." And he said, "I hope that you have a good day." Well, about the time he's talking to me, And he opened his Bible. And he's trying to show me, he's trying to tell me I'm a saved man. I said, sir, I believe you're saved. I says, you don't have to prove all. He says, I read this. I said, sir, you don't have to tell me. Well, about this time, his backup comes in. And I says, well, who is this? And he says, she's my backup. Well, as soon as he said she, ladies, excuse me, okay? I'm probably going to get in trouble right now, but females that were big pieces of steel on their side that has these little brown things that are called bullets, and they got britches on, and they walk like Annie Oakley and all this kind of stuff. And she was a blonde. And she got out of her car, and she started walking at me like Wyatt Earp or whoever she thought she was. And she's walking at me, and I said, and this cop looks at me. Am I in trouble, Brother Tim? We okay? Okay. This cop, the man, he looks at me and he says, sir, he says, her daddy's a Marine. And I said, oh? And he says, she is going to love what you're doing. Well, as soon as he said, her daddy is a Marine, I said, if this woman grew up in the home of a Marine, forget it. I'm in trouble. And sure enough, she started approaching me, and I could see, you know when you're going to get it. You know what I mean? And she's walking, and I says, ma'am, I says, I come up here from Georgia, and as soon as I said the name Jesus, I said, we come up here, the lot of our soldiers know that Jesus Christ, I don't want to hear none of that stuff. And man, she started reading me the Riot Act, and about that time, that other cop came up, and when he came up, he stood next to me, and he said, hey, look, this guy's a good guy. He's trying to help our soldiers. And then he said a few words to her, and she turned around and walked away. Amen? And so I could tell you story after story, but we need to preach tonight. And there's been a lot of good things going on the streets. Take your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. When I was here the last time, we spoke from the book of Jude, and we spoke on this business of, and some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We carry this rope around, and I didn't bring it here because we've already done it here before, and I don't want to try to repeat sermons and that type of thing, but there were people that missed that sermon, and it does need to be preached here again. But I'm hoping and praying that you all that do remember, and you all that say, you know, I'm going to help this man, and I'm going to get on this rope, whatever the promise was that you made that night, I hope that you've kept the promise. And I don't know what you promised. It might have been a promise to color some pictures. It might have been a promise to write some cards. It might have been a promise to put give up a Big Mac once a week and put that money into the offering plate and help buy cards and help buy coloring pictures and help buy these packets. But it was a promise that you made that night. And I'll confess this to you, and I'll confess it to the preacher. I'm scared of that rope, to be truthful with you. It's a message that God gave it to me, but it's a message to where people can easily move and make a commitment. And I believe people, Americans, need to be making commitments today. But it is a message to where people can get on the rope and just take it one ear in one ear and out the other ear and really not pay attention to it. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something tonight that I believe is extremely important. And we're going to get it done tonight. And it's going to be done in this room tonight. Because I'll be up at Grayling for another month probably, and I need your help. I really need your help. And we need, if you could hear the conversations, my 9 years in this work is at a street corner, standing in a street at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, when you're talking to a soldier, good morning, son. We're from over in Ludowice, Georgia. We come out here to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. You can say that, and most of them are being polite to you. They're being kind to you. You're out there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's raining. And I'm a Vietnam veteran, and that doesn't mean I'm anybody. I'm just a Vietnam veteran, that's all. And but they have a respect. A soldier has a respect for a Vietnam veteran real quick. Real quick, they pay attention to you. And so you're out there talking and you're talking and you're talking all morning long, you're talking, and they take the literature. Guess what? Now we're standing on a sidewalk. Now I'm having to listen. Now I'm having to pay attention. And if you could hear the vulgarities that come out of the mouth of a soldier, the way they talk and the way they curse and the way they handle themselves, they'll tell you real quick that they're heading right to hell. They're going straight to hell. And you know what? These females that join our military, the language that they use, and it could be because they know there's a preacher here. They've already figured out this guy's a preacher. You don't have to tell people. All you got to do is talk about the Lord, and all of a sudden you're a preacher. Amen. By the way, if you go to the factory and you talk in the factory and you're just a lay person, you don't teach Sunday school, you just go to church and you're saved and you love Christ, but you go to the factory and you talk about Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to be labeled as a preacher. You will be a preacher. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, that's a good thing.
Amen.
That's a good thing. And so now I'm having to listen to guys that are talking that I still believe that there's still only two men that have ever been willing to die for me. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And on February the 24th of 1980 in Chicago, Jesus saved me. And He eternally saved me. Amen? And He's kept me saved and He's going to keep me saved. And I can't get unsaved because Jesus shed His blood for me. But you know what? There's a soldier. I don't know. I hope you all believe this. I hope you believe that it's the American soldier that is keeping you free. I hope you believe that it's the American soldier that you're here tonight assembled. You're assembled in this place tonight because we have an armed forces that is keeping you free for right now. Do you all believe that?
Amen.
They're on their way to hell. Just listen to them talk is all you have to do is listen to them for a while. And they're on their way to hell. And so tonight, let's look at this passage of Scripture because there's something that we can do about this. There's something we can do about it. And I'm going to ask you to help me to do it. And I don't have my watch with me. Look at this, if you would, please. In verse number 13, now Joash slept with his fathers. This is chapter 13, 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 13. And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. Now I want you to take note of this, that a bow and an arrow is a weapon. This is a weapon that's used for war. And tonight, if you're not aware of it, we are in a war. We are in a very violent war. The Muslims, they're surrounding us. They're moving into this country, and they're moving into this country, and they're moving into this country. And they're all about us. They're even in our military. They're everywhere about us. And they're not here playing games. They're very serious about what they're doing. And so in this passage of Scripture, Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God, says to the king, take bow and arrows, and he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Wow. This was an act of war. They're fixing to go to war with Syria, and the prophet, the man of God, says to the king, he says, now look, he says, you need to declare this war, and we're going to declare it, and this is the way we're going to do it. I want you to take a bow and an arrow, open the window, and we're going to shoot this arrow, and this is an acknowledgement that the war's on. We're announcing this, and so watch this. He says in verse number 17, I think it is, and he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it, and then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice, and he stayed. Now, I am not a theologian, a long way from a theologian. 10 years ago, on October the first of 2001, I saw a situation in America to where maybe soldiers might listen, and God sent me over to Fort Bragg, and guess what? We're still going, and you're not aware of this. You're not aware of this because I didn't tell you, but we're at 1,345,000 gospel tracts that have been collated. We're over about 950,000 that have actually been placed in the hands of a soldier. And I do have another man now. I've got a man, Alan Stewart, in Hinesville, Georgia. He's working at my Walmart. He's working Walmarts for me down there in Georgia. He's not going on the street yet, but I think he's going to go on the street. But right now, this is one man that has gotten this done and doing this. But we obviously have a lot of folks behind us helping us. Now, I want you to look at this. He says, take thine arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. Now, the thrice simply means three times, and the word stayed means he quit. Now, I don't understand all of the culture of these people. I don't understand the culture of all that's going behind here, but I do know the next statement, and I do understand the next statement very clearly. Because the next statement says these words, and the man of God was wroth. The man of God got angry with the king because the king took his weapon, and he took his weapon and he only smote his weapon upon the ground. And this is, from what I understand, this was an act of war. This, we're going to war now, and we're praying to God, and we want God to get involved in this, and we need God's blessings upon this. And he could have taken, in fact, let's just read it. He says, and the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but 3 times. The man of God became angry. Now, if my theology is correct, and if it's incorrect, somebody come and tell me tonight. I will listen. I'm thinking that the man of God is an example of God. He represents the Lord here. And he's saying, why didn't you ask some more? Why didn't you take your arrows and hit them more and strike the ground more? You could have had more. You could have smitten these people. You could have struck the entire nation of Syria, and you could have taken them down. But you didn't quite have enough vision. You didn't quite have enough to you. You just didn't. Maybe you just weren't concerned. Maybe it was. You just didn't fear the Syrians enough. Because you didn't ask. And you could have had it. And tonight, we have available to us all the technology. All the technology. We have the printing presses. We have the brains. We have men that understand the printing presses. We have all the technology that we need. We have the arrows. We have the bow. We have the greatest weapon in all the world. You know what the greatest weapon is, I believe, in all the world? My brother Tim, is a thing called the truth. We have the truth. And they don't have the truth. All they've got is a bunch of hate and fear. That's all they have. They install fear in people. I'm talking about the Muslims. And by the way, the Catholics and the who's those other characters out in Iowa, Idaho or someplace out there? Muslims? Not Muslims. What's the other M word? What are they called? Joseph Smith guys. Yeah. They ain't got a thing to offer people. We are the only ones that have the truth. Amen? We're the ones with the truth. We're the ones with the arrows. We're the ones with the bows. We've got it. And guess what? A lot of times it just sits in our glove compartment. It sits at the house. We don't take them to the Walmarts. We don't take them to the Kmarts. We don't take them to the barbershops. We don't take them. We go week after week after week and never shoot our bow. And never shoot our... Y'all, is this over y'all's head? Let me make it a little simpler. This is an arrow. And this is an arrow. And these are arrows and they are bows. And they don't do a bit of good as long as you keep them in your... What do they call those things? That, who? Your quiver. Thank you for helping me. I need help. It doesn't do you a bit of good keeping them in your quiver. So I look at this church and I look at all the churches that are backing me up. I'm not asking you to go on the streets, but this will encourage you, by the way. We do have some folks from Temperance that called me up and they want to go with me to Grayling. We have a guy over in Jackson wants to go with me to Grayling. The guy up in Traverse City, it's no big deal. It's only an hour drive for him. And there's another guy over in Fife Lake. It's only about 45 minutes for him to come over. That's not a big sacrifice. But for someone to come up from Temperance, but I really need to tell the whole story because they're on vacation. And they're on vacation in Grayling. And they know I'm there. So it's really not a great sacrifice for someone to come from Temperance to go with me on the streets in Grayling because they're on vacation. You know what I'm saying? That's no big deal. But it is nice to have some folks to help me. So this is what we're going to do tonight. Let's look at this passage of Scripture again. Because you know what I believe? I believe we're in trouble in America today, and it could be that we're spending more time praying for a job than we're praying for folks to get saved. It could be that we're praying more for another fishing boat or more rod and reels or more golf clubs or another set of clubs or whatever. It could be that tonight, in America, that we've spent more time praying for things that are insignificant and things that are going to burn up and things that you're going to leave behind than we have been praying for the souls of men. And the man of God was wroth. Could it be that maybe our God is allowing us to have... That doesn't do any good, does it? Could it be that that our God has allowed us to have an Obama? Because he's just tired of us. He's just tired of our Christianity. He's tired of us playing Christian. He's just tired of the whole thing. You do know that promotion comes from God. And you do know that he is appointed of God, and God has allowed it. And there's a reason for it. So tonight, you folks support me financially. You support me with writing cards. You support me with a number of the things. And tonight, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. There's 1, 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24. There's 24 boxes up here. I'm not going to tell you how much money this is. The money's insignificant. I'm going to ask 24 men right now. 24 men that represent a family to get out of your pew and come and get a box, take it back. And when we run out of boxes, and we're going to pray. By the way, we're going to pray. I don't know what time it is, but we're going to pray. We're going to take some time and pray tonight. And I'm going to ask you to pray over this. You know why? Because this is the truth. The soldier came to me and he says, "Sir," he says, "I don't know who you are and I don't know where you came from, but I've been coming to this base for years. And I've never seen men sitting on their bunks reading the Bible. I have never seen this." He says, "This is a good thing that you're doing. And thank you." And he walked off. He walked off. We've got Christians up there that are in our army that are taking these packets and taking them back to the barracks and sharing them with the guys. But you know what we need? We need God to bless it. We need God to bless his word. We need God to give us a victory. And we're not going to have victory over the evil one until we get the word of God. I just believe this. You got to get the seed planted. You got to get it out there. Amen. And so, Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. Father, I pray that as Elisha, the man of God, became wroth, he was angry with the king because the king just did not ask. He did not ask enough. Maybe he wasn't concerned. Maybe he did not fear the Syrians. Father, I don't know all the story, but I do know that the man of God was wroth and he was angry and he was upset with the king because the king just did not care. He did not ask enough. So, Father, tonight, you have chosen me on 9/11. You put something in my head. You put something in my heart that I don't know. I don't understand it all. But I'm asking you, Father, tonight in front of these people, that there be a great harvest amongst our soldiers. And Father, there's going to be some men come to this altar tonight. They're going to get one of these boxes. They're going to take it back to their pew and them and their wives and their children. They're going to take some time tonight and pray over this. And Father, if we run out of boxes, there's a box down here that's open to where there will be packets for the others to come and get. And we're going to take some time tonight, Father, before you. We're not just going to give an invitation and just go on home, but we're going to take some time and we're going to ask you, as we strike our arrows, as we strike the ground, and as we come before you, I'm asking God that you'll give us a great victory in Grayling. And you know I'm listening to the language and the behavior of these men. And Father, you know in my heart I believe the majority that I've talked to is going straight to hell. And please help us to pull them out of hell. And please bless in this invitation now. I think we need to stand maybe or just come and get a box.